several years ago as we were going through the book of Acts in its entirety, one of the things that stood out to me, and for whatever reason the Lord gripped my heart from that study, was from the first few verses of Acts chapter 3. I wanted to deliver to you some meditations upon that passage, just really a bunch of bullet points that I sat there and started out with the word perhaps. Perhaps what we need to learn from this passage is this. Perhaps what we need to learn in the passage is this. There are so many things, and I think it's one of the reasons the Lord has so laid this passage upon my heart, is just to realize some of the beautiful depths of meaning and what this passage challenges us with. So let me read to you from Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. I'm going to read 10 verses. The Bible reads thus. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, which was the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along. They used to set him down every day at the gate of the temple. And this gate was called Beautiful. They set him there in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said to him, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright, and he began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all of the people saw him walking and praising God. And they were taking note of him as being the one whom used to sit at the gate which is called Beautiful, at the temple, in order to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is a passage, as I mentioned, that caught my heart, has caught my mind. And one of the things that I love about this passage is the way it begins and ends, calling note to what this area was, what this location was on the way into the temple. It was one of the gates that allowed entry into the temple. But this gate was referred to as the gate which is called Beautiful. I don't know why it was called Beautiful prior to this moment. I don't know what it was. I don't know how ornate it was. I don't know the setting. I don't know how it looked out. As Gideon and I were driving home last night, we were just south of Clinton. There is Truman Lake, the little arms that reach out there, and there's just the water and the sunset last night. I don't know if you guys saw it. It was brilliant. The sun had fully set, but as we gazed over, as we looked over to the left, the reflection from the clouds was blinding. I mean, it hurts your eyes. It was so brilliant. And from that moment, it started to turn just hues of orange and pink and just fade off into the night. It was a beautiful sight. I don't know if this was a great place to watch the sunset. I don't know. But this gate was a place that God had ordained for us to look at and say, "Beautiful. So beautiful what happened here." There is this man, he is, according to the text, been lame since his birth, since the mother's womb, since before birth, his precious life beating, his heart beating, even while in his mother's womb. But every day He sits at the temple gate called Beautiful, begging alms. This was another thing that impressed upon me as you think of one. This wasn't just a person like we may encounter as we go by different street corners who has a sign up that says homeless or helpless, need help. Can you spare some change? Can you spare some money? Can you help me in that way? It wasn't just a beggar. But he was one expecting to receive alms. Almsgiving was a part of Jewish life at the temple. Something we rarely think of, but this passage calls us to see that. Almsgiving was part of Jewish life at the temple. One of the books of the Apocrypha writes these words to help us give an understanding of what the Jews in that day understood was happening here. It says this: alms do deliver from death, and suffereth not a person to come into darkness. For the giving of alms is a good gift unto all that give it in the sight of the Most High. See, to the Jew, the giving of alms was literally paying it forward. A phrase that we hear used today and bannered about in such a horribly mundane way. To the Jew, this was literally paying it forward. If I did something, it helps me in eternity. It helps me in God's sight. Alfred Edersheim actually records two of the most popular phrases used by a beggar in Jewish time, sitting there at these gates as people would come to pray, as people would come to pray to God. Part of their service was to give. And so the beggars would use these phrases. Listen closely. Listen to what was allowed to happen at the gate of the temple of God. Listen to what was allowed to happen with God's covenant people by these helpless ones. Here are two of those calls. The person that was expecting alms, the person that was there helpless and in need, would say this: gain merit by me. Another call recorded: O tender-hearted one, by me gain merit for thy own benefit. It's poignant to see them say, you can receive blessings from God if you just help me. There are three areas I want us to examine how this passage may speak to us. The first is the area of conviction. The second is an area of hope. And finally, an area of action. Let's talk about how this passage may be convicting to us. Perhaps you have been like this beggar at times, looking for the wrong things instead of the true hope of the glorious God. This one here, and I hesitate to even call attention to this, is pointing out this flaw because it is such a beautiful story. It's one in which this poor man has received glorious things in a moment. But up to that point, he wasn't looking for the glorious things that happened to him. He was looking for some help. He was looking for some money. He was looking for something. And it was something that was good for him to look for. He had a need, and others were to give it to him. And there are times in lives where we have need. And God Himself addresses that when He says, if you will seek first my kingdom, all of your needs I'll provide for you. It's okay to have needs and to look for the answers, trusting in God Himself to deliver them to you. But perhaps we have been a bit too much like this beggar, looking merely for the material things in our lives. Looking for the next paycheck, looking for the next meal, looking for our own pleasures, looking for physical things. When we ought to be looking to know Christ Jesus. That's what so transformed him. It wasn't a big amount of money that got donated that he cried for joy with, But the knowledge of Christ Jesus changed his life, and it changed it in a dramatic way. He was given physical healing. As we see here in this passage, he leaps for joy. But as we see following up into verse 11, that he kept clinging to Peter and John, and the people were amazed at all of this that happened. And Peter immediately at that point makes it clear to both the one who had been healed and all of those who were witnessing such things, this was not about physical healing. This was about salvation in Christ. As Peter proclaims to them the need for repentance and faith later in this chapter in verse 19, "Therefore, all of you have seen this and experienced this. Repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, and that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Oh, the need here was to know Christ. Perhaps this morning you recognize, I've been seeking the wrong things. I've been focused day after day of maintenance, getting the next meal. Or maybe the conviction in our own hearts is, we're at a point to where the next meal's okay, I'm worried about meals 3 months from now if something were to happen. It's the luxury of sin that we have, of not just wondering where today's meal will come from, but storing up and taking comfort in our possessions instead of the God who provides. What are you looking for this morning? What are you seeking? Are we seeking Christ Jesus? Perhaps maybe it's not the beggar that is the one that is convicting to you. Perhaps your religion is more like the Pharisees, who aren't so much described in this passage as much as this passage describes what they must be like. The Pharisees that would come to the temple, that would come in their religious service, that would come in their time of worship, that would come in an hour of prayer and think, oh, let me go ahead and do a good work right now. As they hear the calls, by me, gain merit with God. As they hear, oh, tender-hearted one, by me, gain merit to thy own benefit. And they think, oh, well, okay then. I'll give for my good. Perhaps your religion is like the Pharisees who seek to gain favor with God by making token actions from time to time. More like the way the phrase is used that I referenced earlier today, I'm going to pay it forward. Last week, I shared this with some of you, I guess this is a little bit more than a week ago now. I got a call from a friend. He said, what are you doing? It's Friday night. I never get a call from this guy saying, what are you doing Friday night? Everybody knows I'm with my family every night of the week. But he said, what are you doing tonight? And all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute. Why? What do you want to know? I've got an extra ticket. It's free if you want to go to the Royals game with me. And for a moment, I thought about my children and what they may think of me going without. And yes, I'll take it. I'll go. So I went, and I went to meet them because it was late at that point. We couldn't meet up in Lee Summit. So I said, I'm just going to drive straight on to the stadium. I'll meet you there. We'll meet by the George Brett statue. And as I was there, there's a guy in an orange coat. Marlins man. Many of you. Marlins man had been touched because the flags were still flying at half-mast because Kansas City lost two firefighters in duty. And he was on the radio stations, and he heard about this, and he talked about how he was going to donate thousands of dollars for these families, and he said, because I want to pay it forward. As if giving the same amount of money that he spends almost every night at whatever big event is going on throughout the world is going to make his life better in eternity. And I say this not to pick on him. He's cheering for the Royals. He's on our side. But our hearts are often like that. We think, what can I do? I'll make it sound big. I'll make it seem impressive. How will this impress God? This passage is revealing the depths in which that view is so wrong. This passage is really revealing the failure that any person would attain to trying to live under the old covenant instead of coming to Jesus and Jesus alone as the righteousness that is the new covenant. And it's emphasized through this. One other convicting thought as I meditate upon this passage. Perhaps your religious life has become like the Pharisees, close to the temple, but far from God. That's what we see here, is it not? People trying to gain merit with God by giving to somebody who they really care very little about, but if they may gain merit by them, in the shadow of the temple itself, at the gate of entry. How much can our hearts be that way? Even today, we'll come to church, we'll sing the songs, we'll put the Bible verses on our post, we'll like the things that seem spiritual, and yet we're living our lives without times of true prayer, without times of true seeking of righteousness, without true repentance, but just practicing religion in ways that can be seen. This passage challenges us. The good news is, you are not far from God in any of these areas of conviction, for repentance and faith will bring you immediately into His gracious presence. Repenting of your self-righteousness, of your sin, and saying, Lord, I see rightly now, Jesus alone is righteous, and He is my righteousness. Through faith and through faith alone, you may be restored. You may have those times of refreshing spoken of in this very chapter in your life. Let me turn to our next section, our next thought here. And that is, looking at this passage, I hope you see not only things that you can be convicted of, but you see so much in this passage that gives you hope. That gives hope to your condition in your life. The first thing that I want to think about: perhaps you are suffering in a place called beautiful. Perhaps you're suffering this day. We live in a land that I dare say the mass majority of the population of the earth would come to and think it is paradise. I can just walk up to a spigot and have clean water. I can enter a building and it's heated or cooled, depending on the season outside, to be a perfect 71 degrees. Or 81 for some of you that are wrapped up in coats this morning. There are stores filled with so much fresh produce, with food, that they have to throw it out every couple of days. Oh, we live in a beautiful land. But perhaps in the midst of plenty, you are suffering. This passage to me speaks of a hope for one that is suffering. In whatever way, we live in this land, we have grocery stores in every corner, and yet the world around us does not understand the suffering that you can go to, even in a place that is so beautiful. And I'm here to tell you this morning that there are times in our lives, moments, and I mean, just this morning, we don't know the suffering others are going through, and that's okay. You don't have to feel bad, but when you're suffering in the midst of this place, take comfort that God knows your suffering, that God is aware of your condition. Be reminded from this passage that Christ has the power to overcome weakness and frailty that may be going on in your life and in your heart. He knows that pain. He cares for you. you'll find plenty of passages throughout the Scripture in which Jesus Himself says, "Cast your burdens upon Me, for My burden is light, and I care for you." His compassion is there. Perhaps that's what you needed to hear this morning from this passage. That Christ has the power to overcome weakness and frailty, and you need to look up in simple, childlike faith to Christ to say, "Lord, I need Your healing." Perhaps this morning, based upon this passage, you simply need to hear the name of Jesus today. You catch that there in verse 6? But Peter said, "I do not possess silver or gold, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ." Here, I mean, the words are so short. There's no large exposition. He gets into that in the sermon later to those who are mad about what just happened, who don't understand it, who don't think that's the way it should work. But initially, it comes simply by saying, "In the name of Jesus Christ." What do you know of Jesus? Do you know of His glory? That He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? That alone may be something you need to hear and think about this morning. Oh, Jesus is my King. He is the King. That may lead to repentance. That may lead to faith. That I don't know. Perhaps you just need to hear the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Maybe this morning you sit back and you think, "I haven't thought of that name enough. I haven't sought to seek that." I mean, I know the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, and just move on. No. Oh, may the name of God be glorious. Oh, Jehovah. Oh, God Almighty, Jesus, the Spirit, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Comforter, Friend, Holy, Mighty God. Perhaps you just need to hear the name of Jesus and be reminded that is what life is about. That is what you need to hear now, this morning, and every day. Maybe you say, I've got batches of CDs or MP3s or recordings or Pandora radio or whatever. I can put on a station and hear that name over and over, and the testimonies of God, of others, and how God has changed their lives through the name of Jesus. And you just need to hear His name over and over again. It's hard for us. It's hard for us to be like the woman that came and wept at His feet, because His feet aren't here before us. But, oh friends, His name is. And His name is powerful, because the name of Jesus represents the fullness of God, for in Him... I mean, this is what Colossians, this is going back to what I have been preaching through, I took a break from. This is everything Colossians is about. For He is the image of the invisible God. Well, Paul's writing that after Jesus has already been crucified, dead, buried, and ascended. And His body is glorified, and His remains aren't even left here. How can Paul take such confidence to proclaim the name of Jesus and say, "In Him all wisdom is found. And in Him you are made complete." He says it because He's proclaiming the name of Jesus. There is every bit of power in His name to transform you. Perhaps we need to hear that name, just as Peter said, "But I tell you, in the name of Jesus Christ." I don't know what follows. To this lame man, it needed to be told, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." In the name of Jesus, for His glory, what are you praying for today? What are you asking for today? Your family members, broken and in need. Would you take hope in the name of Jesus for them today? Would you pray, "Lord, may I hold forth the name of Jesus to them today?" In the name of Jesus, our sweet Savior. Perhaps you simply need to be amazed this day, reminded again of the ways in which God changes people. Here is this man, this lame beggar. For years he had assumed the role of saying, okay, I'm just someone who's living for a meal. I can't work. I can't earn anybody's respect or pity. No one will take me in. There's been no lord, no prince, no king, no one who's looked at me and said, I have plenty. You don't need to sit here. Come and sit at my table and feast at my banquets. This man just said, I will hold myself out for others to pay it forward at their mercy and hope they give something to me. And God changed this man to be one who was leaping for joy to the praise of God. We could keep turning to the pages of Scripture and see examples like this of Jesus. But here's a passage, and we could continue to turn to many of others of these in the book of Acts, where not only Jesus, but those followers of Jesus in His name did such amazing things that our minds would have to be convinced we either believe the Scriptures or we don't. But if we believe them, God is able to change us. Think about that. He is able to change those in our lives that from every other thought we would not think could be changed. You think it's only physical things that God can change? And not the heart of man? There's even more passages that speak of how God changes hearts. And this man no longer was content to be someone who said, I will be used by others. He said, now I will be used by the one who made me, and I will declare His praises. Perhaps you need to be reminded this morning that God has chosen the lowly things of this world. I think about who God chose here and how word like this spread to all of the rulers, to the high priests, to the temple guard, to all of these people, that God chose this one. Well, what about me? I earned so much favor by giving to this man. Shouldn't God have used me? Oh, how God chooses the humble. How God chooses the meek. How God chooses the ones who do not deserve to be chosen. Perhaps that's what you need to hear this morning. Perhaps this morning that gives you hope. And you can say with true humility, God can do wonderful things through me. How many years have I wasted? He can change you in a moment. Perhaps you need to see the ways your life is more beautiful by God's work today than you ever realized. Have you had those moments in your life that you can look back and say, oh, that place is beautiful. That time is beautiful. For what God did to me. Lastly, let me speak of just a couple of things here this morning that may call us from this passage into action. Two things. One, perhaps you see the opportunities to minister to those who are like this beggar, in bondage without the knowledge of Christ. That's what Peter saw here. Think about the setting of everything. Peter could have just walked right by this one, but he looked upon him with the compassion of Christ. He looked around with the faith that God would do something wonderful for his testimony, for his praise to be declared. He wanted to bring glory to the name of Christ. You will encounter those in this life who are like this beggar. Maybe not sitting upon the corner asking for money. You may encounter someone like that too. But you'll encounter those in your life, in your family, in your neighborhood, at your workplace, who are bound under sin and need to hear you proclaim the name of Jesus to them. Maybe this belongs in the announcements, but I believe right now it belongs right here in the sermon. Our brother Chris has just put some finishing touches on a website called Are You Burdened? Something just to reach out to those whom we know around us who need to hear the name of Jesus. A great opportunity for us to, as a church, pray for God to use the Word of Christ, the name of Jesus, to go forth and open the hearts and the lives of others. And we pray for our opportunities to go out, and even if we don't have time to share the gospel or someone's not willing to hear, we can just give them a card that may point them to something that in the dark hours of the night when they are under conviction or burden, they would find a place speaking the name of Christ. A place that would be beautiful. Maybe it's not a website, maybe it's not a card, maybe it's not a tract. Maybe this passage says there are times when I need to confront someone and simply share with them their need of Christ. I'm so thankful Peter didn't just leave a tract behind with the beggar. He spoke the words of Christ to him. Lastly, perhaps you need to remember the reason why you walk today. And instead of using your legs for the mundane task of moving from one place to another, you should leap with them in praise to God. Maybe it's physical legs, maybe it's spiritual legs you're thinking about right now. I don't know. But may your life leap for God's glory. Quote from Spurgeon. You know that you have to teach your children to walk as they gather strength. Then they acquire the art of walking, for there is indeed an art to it. And I should suppose that if a man had been lame from his birth, a surgeon could suddenly make his ankle bones strong, yet he would not be able to walk. He would not know what to do with his legs, never having used them. Certainly he would be exceedingly awkward in his first movements, but this man went through his gymnastics lessons very rapidly. When the miracle was wrought upon him, for he walked, he ran, he leaped to the glory of God, and all of that immediately. May God change our hearts, that from this moment forward, we praise His name.